Welcome back to Personal Growth Through Torah. Today we will be talking about Parshat Shalach. So let's begin with a little bit of background on the Parsha. Parsha begins with a discussion of how Moshe sends out the Meraglim, the spies, to go out and to do a survey of the land. The land that Hashem has promised the Jewish people. He picks 12 people, one from each of the tribes, people who are nisim, people who are of stature, people who are proper, yashar, they are tzaddikim in their own right. And he sends them out and they make this survey of the land, 40 days, and then they return. Upon returning, they begin to give their report. Vaisapru lo vayumru banu el haaretz asher shalachtanu v'gam zavat chalav udvash hi v'ze pirya. So what do they say? They report. And they report along the following lines. We came unto the land that you sent us, and also it was a land that was flowing with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Then it continues, Ephes, nevertheless, ki az ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz, the people that live there in the land, they are fierce. Ve'arim bitzurot, and the cities are fortified, gedolot me'od, extremely great, ve'gam yilidei ha'anak ra'inu sham, and so also we saw there the children of the Anak, the giants. They continue, Amalek yoshev be'eretz ha'negev. From the south you have Amalek. V'achiti v'ayvusi v'ayemori yoshev bahar. And then you have the Hiti. You have the Yvusi and you have the Amori. And they are there in the mountains. V'haknani yoshev alayam. And there by the sea you have the Kananim. Va'al yad ha'yarden. And along the side of the Jordan as well. Now, the key here to these statements is not just the qualitative information that is being given, but also its manner of delivery. Let's go ahead and paraphrase through the statements that were made. And see that this paraphrasing takes into account four words that are being used. Vegam, and also Ephes, nevertheless, or nothing. Me'od, very. Vegam, and also. First of all, it says, we went and it was good as would be expected. Let's understand. Yes, everything was wonderful. And this is referring to the language of Vigam. And also, and so it was. Yes, it was the way you would expect the land that God is going to give us. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. See here its fruits, how wonderful they are. Some of the Mefarshim, they want to take this word Vigam and to imply that this entire statement was all b'gnai, it was not necessarily meant to be b'shevach as a praise, but rather to be something derogatory. But for the moment, let's assume that this was not a derogatory set of statements, which seems to be the line that the Ramban takes. But the fact is, they open up v'gam, and so this is the case. The implication is that This is a very light statement. Yeah, this is the case, true. But there's something more. And that's where it continues. Ephes. And the Ramban singularly picks this word as the turning point for which these set of statements turn from something positive into something negative. Ephes. Nonetheless, or this is all nothing. Ki az ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz. Because the people that are settled, the people that are settled there are fierce. Ve'arim b'tzurot gdolot. And the cities are fortified. Me'od, very much so. This word me'od, meaning implying something more than just a distinct, specific number, but rather an expression of exuberance, an implication of something that is not bound and defined, but subjective. The garment, not only that, on top of all of this, Yiridei ha'anak ra'inu sham. We also saw there that the children of giants. The statement then finishes what would be an accurate analysis and survey of what was there. And that is that from every direction surrounding the land, there are nations which are enemies, and in the land itself, there are nations which are enemies. The statement in itself does not necessarily imply or inflect anything of particularly grand proportions of wrong, but the problem here is that taken in relationship to the previous statements, what we've seen is that there was an underlying thread of implication of the fact that there was an incapability in the hands of the Jewish people, and perhaps even God, to conquer the land which Hashem promised to the Jewish people. The fundamental problem in the statements that were given has to be understood in the framework of the shlichut, of the actual mission that they were set to do. They were told by Moshe Rabbeinu to go and survey the land, to make determinations that would be for the purpose of mapping out campaigns of war. These determinations included making decisions regarding the conditions of the land, regarding the conditions of the people that were in the land, regarding the conditions of the cities. The fact of the matter is that they were told to make a description of what in fact existed there in the land itself. So what then is the fundamental problem here? In light of this mission, have they not in fact done exactly as they've been asked? And the answer to that is no. They were asked to make a survey, to make a report, to make an analysis, and what in fact they did was make a subjective evaluation. We'll discuss this more in a bit. Now, in the midst of this subjective evaluation that's being made, these statements not yet voicing clearly what in fact it is that is their intention in the subjective matter that is at hand, or even expressing clearly what the subjective aspects are, But nevertheless, they have intimated, subtly perhaps, but as we understand from the Midrash and the Mefarshim, that the Am certainly, the people have certainly picked up on this, and they were being stirred, they were being taken by the implications of the inability for Am Yisrael, for the Jewish people to conquer Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. Vayas Kalev. Kalev stilled the people. Shh. Et Am. El Moshe. And he stills them in the direction of Moshe. The Midrash tells us that he began by trying to imply that there was some issue here related to the leader, as by doing so, the other Muraglim, the other spies, would see him as being part and parcel of their intention and direction. And then he begins. Vayomer, and he says, Alo Nale, we should go up. Surely go up. Vayarashnu ota, and we will possess it. Ki yaho nuchala, because it is within our capabilities. He preempts the voicing of their negative evaluation with a positive statement of evaluation. So he also makes an evaluation and not a report. Let's continue. Va'anashim asher alu imo amru lo nuchal la'alot al ha'am. The men that they had gone up and they were party to the investigation of the land that were with him, they said, No. We cannot go up to the land. Ki chazaku mimenu, because they are stronger than we are. They made a full-out declaration of their subjective opinion as to the capabilities that existed in the hands of the enemy. And this was subjective, for it was not based on the particular details of their capabilities, fortifications, weaponry, or any other specific details, but rather this was something which they subjectively came to decide. Following this, the Chumash continues. Vayotziu dibat haaretz asher taru ota el bnei Yisrael lemor. And they spread out an evil report concerning the land that they had spied out. And they made this report, this time, not in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua and Caleb, but rather directly to the Jewish people. Lemor, saying to them in this way, Haaretz asher avanu va latorota eretz ochelet yoshvei. The land that we passed over and through to investigate, it's a land that consumes its inhabitants. V'chol ha'am asher ra'inu b'tocha anshei midot. And all the people that we saw in this land were of great stature. Visham ra'inu et ha'nifilim b'nei anak min ha'nifilim. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, meaning the giants, the son of a giant. Vanehi ve'enenu kehagavim ve'hen hayinu ve'enehem. We were in our own sights as being like grasshoppers compared to them. And that is the way they saw us. A completely and totally subjective statement based on how they felt, how they perceived or imagined those people would see them. And so it was that they progressed from a report that had implications of a negative evaluation, followed by a statement by Kalev to head them off from making the statement. And then they continued and progressed into all-out fabrication amongst the people that worked beyond the framework of facts that were based on their original factual survey and compounded on the evaluations that were based on the factual survey. So they stepped two steps beyond the reality on the ground. So I present to you a question. What is the fine line between an evaluation and a report? And a survey? What's the difference here when I was referring to the idea of objective versus subjective in the report that's being made? So the Ramban states on these psukim, Ki ken siva otam laharoto, vihine bechol ze amru emet veheshivu ama shenitztavu vahaya lehem nomor sheama yoshev aleha az veharim betzurot. Meaning the bottom line is that these initial statements that were being made by them, that began out as a report, that they state the conditions of the land as they were, that in fact the case is that they came to a place of Zvat Chalav Udvash, flowing with milk and honey, that in fact there in that land there are grand, mighty people who are fierce. There are cities which are fortified and so forth and so on. That is within the framework of an evaluation and report that would fit the task at hand and the requirements of which they were set out to fulfill, which was to create a survey that would be used as part of battle plans. So it was in fact that they should return an answer according to the truth to the one that sent them. And that's what was commanded to them, that they should identify the situation that was there on the ground. Where though did they go wrong? The milat efes. It was in this word efes. She more al devar efes venimna min adam sheiv shar b'shum inyan. The key here is that this word which begins the statement that describes the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, that they would be impossible to conquer. Ephes, however, nevertheless, this is nothing when you take into account the following. That statement is a statement of evaluation and of opinion based on their expert vision, based on their ability to judge, based on their sense of what exists. There are two forms of logic. There's formal logic and informal logic. There is a logic which develops in a deductive fashion, beginning with premises, with beginning with things which exist, and formally building out from that original situation, from that original set of premises, a conclusion which contains no more information than the original premises, which is arrived at through logical conclusions based on factual patterns, syllogisms, that result in truth, meaning deductive reasoning, results that are truth because the premises themselves are truth. Meaning that if they had began with a series of observations, made deductive, meaning made logical decisions that came out from all of this, and came then to a conclusion based on a series of formal proofs, A plus B equals C, and so forth and so on. If this is the case, then that. Well, then this is like that, then that should be the case, whatever the case is, meaning if they had come and they had made these decisions in this formal deductive fashion, meaning resulting in a survey and analysis that goes beyond even the observed facts, but is factual in conclusion directly to the original premises, there would have been no problem. The problem here is the informality and the subjective nature of what has been inserted. It is the use of degrees of truth, meaning subjective analysis, an assertion of their personal feelings regarding matters, and taking the subjective viewpoint, meaning fabricated based on probability, what would be the situation, and making therefore an evaluation and not a report. Not giving concrete points of truth, but rather their own personal feelings and evaluations, all based on some form of logic and based on probabilities and degrees of truth based on their knowledge of the matters, vis-a-vis what matter and knowledge they possess to begin with, rather than an actual observation of what exists. In the fulfillment of Torah, and in the learning of Torah, we are striving to divulge the objective truth, not insert our own subjective opinions and reasonings. We are looking to discover what Hashem has placed in front of us, and not to take what is in front of us and come up with a probability of what it would be like or what it could be based on our own experiences, observations, and previous learning. We need to come to clear, factual decisions. Determinations of truth based on informal reason are a percentage of likelihood. Psak is a deductive decision that takes into account the variability in reality. The Torah and the mitzvot possess within them an understanding of the variability that the entire world has. A kula, a leniency that exists in halakha, is not a dispensation. It is not a subjective decision to put aside a matter of Torah for the situation at hand. But rather, within the framework of the Torah itself, the variability of the world around us is accounted for, and therefore, logical, deductive steps can be taken, and rules can be fashioned, that given a situation, the following would occur, the following would be the course of action that we take, be it of a more lenient nature or a stricter nature, but is all within the framework of the variability that the Torah takes into account to begin with. So why then did they make an evaluation instead of a report? What took them in this direction? What we find, and what we've already described, is that matters of subjective reasoning are matters that begin with one's assertion of his self. An assertion of how one relates to the subject at hand. Not a discovery, but an opinion. This is a matter of ga'ava. It is a matter of self-centeredness. It is a matter of sense of self. Being singled out to perform a mission, to be given a particular and special role, places a deep sense of responsibility upon the person to execute his obligations without the insertion of himself into that implementation. Since they had begun as a result of falling in this matter, of having assumed a greater sense of their own personal worth in connection to their mission, and had asserted themselves and subjectively reported what had occurred on their trip, Kalev, seeing and realizing that this was going on, made a statement. And he inserts, Ki yachonu chala, no, we can do this. And the Ramban says, Hayu ha'am poschim, that the nation was being pacified by the statements of Kalev, by Moshe, by Yoshua. and the nation as a whole, they were believing in the power and the strength that existed within their hands, having already endured, having already passed as far as they have, and they saw and understood the hand of God that was there helping them, and therefore they were pacified. This was a direct affront to this nikuda of gava, to this point of self-centeredness that existed in these 10 other miraglim, these 10 other spies. And therefore their reaction was one to defend their sense of self, and therefore, realizing that it would be a failure to present their statements before Moshe, before Kalev and Yehoshua, people who possessed a greater level of anava, a greater level of selflessness, and understanding that this is Hashem's world, and that all is directed by His hand, and that even these surveys that were being done were not being done in order to make evaluations of how, with their own might and power, matters could come to be. They therefore took this to the people, and there they began to go beyond and to fabricate and make statements that go beyond the actual survey that was made. Now another question that arises was, didn't Kalev also make an evaluation? Weren't his statements also subjective in nature? He says, no, we can accomplish this. The implications of this also is that it is an evaluation. In Sefer Yeshua, Perek Yudalet Pasuk Vav, Vayigshu v'nei Yehuda el Yeshua b'gigal v'yomer alav Kalev ben Yifune הכניזי אתה ידעת את הדבר אשר דיבר השם ומשה איש אלוקים על עודותי ועל עודותיך בקדש בניה. So there it's mentioned that Yeshua meets with Caleb, and Caleb says, you know, remember what Hashem said about us? Ben arba'im shana anochi bishloach Moshe et eved Hashem bishloach Moshe eved Hashem otim mikadesh baneya leragel et haaretz v'ashev oto davar kasher im levavi. I was 40 years old when Moshe sent me. When he sent me to investigate the land, and I returned and I spoke like that which was in my heart. Kalev is telling and saying that he retorted in the mode of argument that was being used, this informal argumentation that was going on, and he was expressing himself with his heart, but the statements that he made were based on facts. And while they are matters of percentage, they were 100% in each matter. God's promises and the facts on the ground concur in with His statement that we'll go up and we will conquer. And this statement is being made as a matter of being a kanoi, of being jealous for God and His honor. And the statements are made with that sense of passion for God and for His people. And they did not contain within them an assertion of Himself, a concertion of His own I, but rather statements which were asserted for God and for His people in totality. These were not statements that are sourced in ga'ava, that are sourced in self-centeredness, which is the midah, which is the trait that is the source of all other bad traits, and is the key cause of sin. Kaleb's evaluatory statements then answer the question of why did they go beyond the facts then? Why then did they enter into outright lies? If the statements of Kaleb, if the statements of Moshe and Yeshua could quiet the Am, could quiet the people and set things right, why couldn't they then accept the situation at hand, stop where they were? And the idea is that their eye was attacked and they reacted. This offense of self set off a full reaction and led them into the path of sin with the outright lashon diba, the outright negative false statements on the conditions in the land and the various subjective statements of its inability to be conquered and the nature of what existed in the land. What happened to Yeshua? We find that up until this point, there's no mention of Yeshua. And the Midrash states that the Meraglim would not allow Yeshua to speak, citing that he lacked merit to make an evaluation, meaning he couldn't have an opinion because he had no children. And therefore, he was not as concerned about the situation. They made these arguments against his inclusion, knowing that he would not make an evaluation, being that he was a disciple of Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore constantly involved in the discovery of truth, an expert in the methods and manner of this discovery, and part, in fact, of the actual mode of transmission of the Torah, the Mesorah. Kalev, they did not realize what his intentions were. And he was allowed to speak because he implied, by the manner of his statements, by shushing the people and directing himself at Moshe and giving the impression that he too was going to join in with a subjective statement of the situation, what they had overlooked is that Kalev had taken the time out to pray. To pray at the grave sites of the forefather, understanding that any mission, that any matter that we are to accomplish can only be accomplished by the hand of God, that he had already asserted himself in prayer to remove himself, his sense of self, from the mission and deed at hand, giving over his entire being for the accomplishment of God's will. And Yeshua ben Nun and Kalev, they tear their clothes. And then they state, "Vayomru el kol adad bnei Yisrael lemor ha'aretz asher avanu ba latorota tova ha'aretz me'od me'od." They then together make these statements that understand the land that we investigated, it is good, very, very good. It is 100% beyond a doubt. It is not a subjective matter, it is a fact. Even if their statements are being made in the same informal nature, the fundamental backbone of it all is the truth of the statement and the removal of their sense of self in the making of such statements. That it was all for the sake of Hashem and His people. And they were moser nafsham. They gave all their entire beings and souls. Making statements that were without sense of self. And consequently, as we know, they were pelted with stones. Yeshua and Kalev, when they see things had blown out from the realm of reason, they answered in the manner that was fitting, but with the content that was completely selfless and true. In our personal growth, in learning and the serving of Hashem, it must constantly be our focus to ensure that we do not allow ourselves to enter in to the learning and the performance of the mitzvot themselves. That each piece of Torah is investigated and is analyzed using the full sense of all the learning, all of the experience and knowledge which we have, in order to penetrate into its depths, but with an adherence to a creed not to make an evaluation, an opinion of what exists, but rather to make a discovery of the truth that is therein, to deduce out from the facts at hand what must be the true conclusion without an assertion of our feelings of the way the conclusion should end up. In performing the mitzvot, to perform them in the accurate and proper manner with the love and awe of Hashem that is incumbent upon us, but without a sense of questioning the purpose, meaning, or enjoyability, or personal gain, or fitness that we should have from all that which we do, to understand the meanings and try and discover them, to develop a sense of joy, a sense of love for what we're doing, is without question our obligation. But to make statements of opinion, I like this, I don't like that so much, implies a sense of self being asserted, and it is incumbent upon us to serve Hashem fully and in truth. Lo'ovdecha be'emet, with truth. Only after we've discovered the truth and move in the direction of truth can we then make statements of passion, such as Kalev and Yeshua, statements that will be 100% true to their core, but then expressed with the full being of that element which makes us, each and every one of us, individual and unique, to apply that then, an assertion of passion into the truth. May each and every one of us merit to perform every single mitzvah in all its truth and with all of our passion. And in such see, Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehrah b'yameinu. Amen.